And last week, Brother Joshua graciously spoke, and we are so grateful for that. Thank you very much, Joshua. And today, I am assigned to speak, and I would like to wrap up our reflection on David in the Old Testament. As you know, in my recent past lessons, I spoke about people like Samuel, Saul, and David. And today, I'd like to invite your attention to David again. But today, I'd like to finish the reflection on David for the time being. As you know, Saul was anointed as the very first king of Israel and became the king. But he did not really do a great job as a king. He increasingly drifted away from God, and his way of reigning the kingdom was not pleasing to God. Then God chose David as the next king. So Samuel anointed David, but that did not mean the immediate enthronement of David. Saul's reign did not end there, and David and the people of Israel needed to wait. In the meantime, David started to serve Saul. At first, Saul liked David very much, but soon the relationship between Saul and David changed. Saul increasingly hated David because David was very successful in battle and everything. While David had no intention of stealing the throne of Saul at all, Saul felt that the popularity of David was a threat to Saul. So soon Saul tried to kill David. Since then, David was greatly troubled by Saul, and the trouble continued for years. But David always turned his mind to God and chose what was right in the eyes of God. For example, David was given opportunities to easily kill Saul at least twice. But David did not even attack Saul. David let God judge Saul, and that's why David did not harm or kill Saul. Meanwhile, David and Jonathan, one of the sons of Saul, became best friends, and Jonathan helped David greatly, especially when Saul was trying to kill David. But unfortunately, Jonathan eventually died in a battle against the Philistines. And in the same battle, actually, Saul was also killed. Actually, he killed himself. Soon, the people of Israel learned about the death of Saul. After that, the commander of Saul's army tried to make one of Saul's sons, Ish-bosheth, the new king. But to make the story kind of quick, that plan basically failed. Then the people of Israel came to David and acknowledged David as the king. By the way, at this particular point, David temporarily lived in a town called Hebron. So that's why the verse I'm going to read says David of Hebron. But anyway, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler. When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Thus, David finally became the king of Israel. As you can see, it took quite a long time until David became the king. In addition to taking a long time, before he became the king, David had to go through many difficult situations. In fact, David was almost killed by Saul a few times. But being put in difficult situations or crises never meant that God forgot about David and God's plans for him. God had chosen David as the new king, and David was still to become the king during the difficult times of David. In fact, David eventually became the king of Israel, as today's scripture verses say. So, here we can see the faithfulness of God, and that is a point I would like to share with you today. By the way, do you remember the time when David first met Samuel and he was anointed to be the new king of Israel? That was when David was only a kid. The Bible doesn't exactly say how old he was, but probably around 11 or 12 years old or so. And David was such a young kid at that time that Jesse, the father of David, didn't even introduce David to Samuel. When Samuel came to Jesse to announce David. So Samuel had to ask Jesse, are these all the sons of you, the sons you have? But on that day, David was anointed to become the new king. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. But the anointment of David at that point did not mean David's immediate enthronement. In fact, David basically continued to work as a shepherd. Soon, he started serving Saul in Saul's palace as well, but it took a long time until David actually became the king. In addition, while serving as Saul's servant, David began to be troubled by Saul. Saul started to try to kill David, as you know. But that did not mean God's plan failed. David was still the one who was going to be the king. And he actually became the king. But it took about 10 years or more than 10 years, but we don't know exactly how long that was, but it took about 10 years until David became the king eventually. Now, you might wonder, and I wonder also, why it took so long until David became the king? Why did not God allow David to become the king immediately after David's anointment by Samuel? Why did David need to wait like 10 years after the first anointment? We all want to know the answer to the question because sometimes we too have to wait for a long time and things does not go in the way we expect or imagine. But we cannot find the clear explanation in the Bible on why David needed to wait for a long time until he became the king. So we don't know exactly why. Nonetheless, that does not mean that David spent the long period of time just in vain at all. Through the difficult time, David learned that he could rely on God. What David could do by himself might have been limited, but he could always rely on God and seek help. By the way, David wrote quite a few psalms when he was escaping from the hand of Saul. And in the Psalms, David repeatedly wrote about his reliance on God. For example, Psalm 59, whose title says, "When Saul had sent men to watch David's house in order to kill him." In that situation, David writes in verse 9 of Psalm 59, "You, that is God, you are my strength. I watch for you. You, God, are my fortress, my God on whom I can rely." In this way, David relied on God, and his relationship with God was developed. He became humbled before God and let God take care of the problems. The reliance on God was one of the most important elements that a good and spiritually successful king needs to have. Saul was not a successful king, especially because he did not turn his mind to God. Instead, he tried to take care of his problems just by himself. That was Saul's case. But David learned the importance of his reliance on God and developed his relationship with God. Then, as you know, he eventually became one of the most successful kings of Israel, and he was loved by the people of his kingdom. If David had become the king immediately, without going through any difficult situations, most likely he would have become an arrogant and unspiritual king like Saul, and he would have not been loved by the people of Israel either. As Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." So, David did not suffer just in vain. The sufferings developed his spirituality. The sufferings spiritually equipped David as the next king of Israel. And the sufferings of David did not And in this case, in David's case, the suffering was mostly the threat of Saul, but anyway, the suffering or sufferings of David did not last forever. At God's appointed time, Saul was killed during the battle against the Philistine. David did not even attack Saul, but God removed Saul, and now David was free. Moreover, the people of Israel came to David and acknowledged David as the king, saying, "The Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.'" Thus, God's promise was fulfilled. God made his plan a reality. Then, a little later, God also said this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. God also says this to David: "When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom." Basically, God promised that God would bless David and his descendants. And God also said at the end of the verse, "I will establish his kingdom." His kingdom here refers to David's kingdom in one sense. But God's plan was not just to bless David, to bless David's earthly kingdom. God had an even larger plan. God was going to send the truly perfect king, the King of Kings, using the offspring of David, and establish God's kingdom to bless his people. The kingdom, the King of Kings is of course Jesus Christ, the Son. Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph, the offspring of David. And through Jesus Christ, God invites everyone who believes in Jesus to become the people of God's kingdom. And kingdom and his kingdom lasts forever. I might have made today's lesson a little complicated. In that case, I'm sorry, but the point I would like to share with you today is, once again, the faithfulness of God. We have reflected on David's life up to the point he became the king. There was an extended period of time between David's first anointment and his actual becoming of the king. But God never forgot about David and God's plan for him. In fact, David became the king after going through many difficult situations. And these difficult situations were not in vain. Through the sufferings, David developed the relationship with God, and also David was spiritually equipped as the new king. So, we too sometimes put in a situation that makes us feel that God is absent. A situation that makes us wonder where God is. But God is always faithful, and he never forgets about us. He has plans for us, and his plans are always good to us. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And the promise given to David, the promise of God's blessings upon the offspring of David and his kingdom, was not just a promise to David and his family. God was going to use David's offspring to send the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Savior, to bless everyone who believes in him. And that everyone includes us too. On December 25th, we normally celebrate the birth of Jesus. I like Christmas. To be sure, the Bible does not mention the specific date of the birth of Jesus. But the point I'd like to draw your attention today, as Christmas Day is approaching, is not the specific date of the Christmas, but the faithfulness of God. God made a plan to establish his kingdom, inviting us to be his people. And in order to make the plan a reality, God sent and even sacrificed his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, through Jesus Christ, we can be his people, the citizens of God's kingdom. Now, God is still inviting us to be his people, so we can share this good news with those who are around us, people who have not been added to his people yet. And at the same time, let us keep in mind that someday, at God's appointed time, God's kingdom will be completely established and we will be given true victory over our problems and sufferings, like David was given victory by God. God is faithful, so we can rely on him and we have hope always. Of course, that does not mean we can simply ignore our problems. We should deal with our problems. But because we know that God is faithful, we can always turn our minds to God and ask God for his wisdom, guidance, and help. And because we know that God is faithful, we can deal with our problems with hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the verse just we read at the beginning of the service. No temptation or testing has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tested, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So, always we have hope because God is faithful. God faithfully loves us and fulfills his promises. So, let's remain in his love and grace. Let's walk with hope given by God as we start a new week. Thank you for listening.